Hi, I'm Britton LaRue, and this is Moon to Moon. Moon to Moon is a space to consider, celebrate, and share the ways we come home to ourselves, anchor through change, and uncover our power. 1 month, one phase, one loving step at a time. Hi, welcome back to Moon to Moon, and I'm super, super pumped to share the conversation that I'm giving to you in this episode. It's with someone that I've admired for a long time now, and we've gotten closer over 2021 in appreciating each other's work, and I was very honored when this guest said yes, and I will speak more about that guest in just a moment. I do want to spend a little time here at the front reminding listeners that Charting Your Course begins this Wednesday if you're listening before September 1st. So registration ends Sunday night. Of course, I'll take people in if they want to come in on Monday and Tuesday, but really the cutoff is absolutely Wednesday, because you want to get in and you want to begin doing the intro material. You want to get into the pre-course material and see everything in there and get comfortable in there before we actually take off, because we are going. Like, there's so many realms and worlds that we're visiting together. And I just highly recommend that you go ahead and enroll so that you can give yourself a little spaciousness on the front end to land into, like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. Because it's a big deal. It's going to be hugely transformational to your life. It's going to be a big part of your weekly rhythm. You're going to be learning another language. You're going to be learning all kinds of skills to connect your intuition, to recognize energies in you and around you and in the chart. You're going to learn how to become a channel for astrological wisdom. You're going to be working with the tarot the whole time. It's a magical, mystical, intuitive space that we're growing here. And the people that are coming in are very creative, very smart, very fun folks who are all going to be learning from each other, and that's going to be really exciting. If you haven't listened yet to the reunion show, which is the last episode, please do if you're thinking about it, so you can hear from people who were once like you trying to decide if this was something that they wanted to do. And listen to the energy of the way we talk to each other and the way we're interacting, and feel into if you feel like that kind of thing would be overwhelming, or if that kind of thing would be actually really grounding and anchoring in your life. You know, for some people, truly the time and the money is that they're just not there, or maybe the energy capacity is truly not there. But for most of us, I think for a lot of you listening who are thinking about doing this, you will find that rather than the course being overwhelming, it actually helps you deal with what is overwhelming in your life, you know? It provides the structure of and the regularity of this community support. It provides all kinds of material to, like, expand your wonder, like, blow open possibilities, feel into hopefulness. No matter what else is going on in your life, you'll be learning about how to spread your magic out in the world and be connected to your gifts and to live the fuck out of your chart. So hop on over to the enrollment page, because I made public the welcome videos that I created. One just me, and then Jonathan and I, Mike Jonathan's the other teacher. There are two teachers who are guiding this group. And I encourage you to just watch the videos and feel inside of yourself. Does this provide the structure for learning astrology and the like vibe that I want for this sacred process of learning astrology? Are these people the people I want to be my mentors? Does what they're inviting me into in this welcome video sound like something I want to be invited into? You know? Because if you feel yourself called into that, you will create the energy, the space, and the investment to make it happen for you. And I think for so many people, just as members were saying in the last episode, you will realize that you can't imagine how you didn't say yes to this opportunity. So I feel such confidence and such trust in like the vastness of this offering to expand your life in like every single category. Because as I've recently been sharing, astrology is not separate from us. It's right here. It's not a cute thing over there. It's right here. And you'll be learning how to really live it and embody it inside of your life, inside of your body, inside of everything that you do. Relationally, professionally, with your health, with your family, with dealing with the past, dealing with your healing, dealing with your goals, everything that we do here as humans, you know, we can be with astrology as we do that. And that's what we're going to be doing together. You will not only get to learn your chart, but every week you're going to be seeing the other people's charts. You're going to see so many charts. Right now we have 26 people that are enrolled, and it's going to expand between now and when we begin, because there's usually a lot of people that come in at the last minute, maybe you. So one of the most profound things about the class, which students from last year talked about in the last episode, is getting obsessed with other charts, being moved by other starts, listening to people's stories as we're looking at the chart and placing the story inside of the chart, and growing your capacity to feel other charts and to feel how astrology works through other people's stories, and how that creates the sense of connection rather than separation. It creates the sense of like community compassion rather than like the sense of, oh, I'm doing this all by myself, you know? And I feel like this is what we need right now, you know? Healing is going to be happening in community. That's where it's going to be happening. So let me tell you what's in the intro portal. There's the welcome video, which you have access to before you enroll. Please go check those out. Then I share Britain's five things to understand about astrology. Then there's intro to this framework that I talk a lot about called field research for yourself. Then the framework of living the fuck out of your chart. Then there's a discussion of daily practices. Then I share, field research for yourself is also open to the public. Please go ahead and learn from that lesson whether you want to take it or not. Then I have a video on beginning a tarot practice for people who are coming to the class with very little tarot experience. So I created something to give you a boost as we begin here. How to reach Britain and Jonathan. Shared text. We're all going to be reading two books together. And then there's two texts that are highly and strongly encouraged. There's a huge resources section for growing your astrology knowledge base and practice, Jonathan and I's favorite resources, but every single week we're going to be giving lots and lots of resources. The resource bank is part of what people are paying for. There's going to be links to the Slack space. There's going to be a section, resources for investing in readings or healing sessions with people that we admire. There's a section on meeting dates in the whole calendar, because there's going to be the weekly Wednesday lessons, as well as bonus meetups on two Mondays, a portal So that's a total of 10 with Jonathan leading. And then there's going to be bonus meetups for everyone who was early bird or who pays for the upgrade to join the early birds once a month. So that's 7 total. And then there's going to be a section called Connecting Within the Community, where we share everybody's name, a little bit about them, whatever you're comfortable with. Like if you want to share your Instagram feed or your website, if you want to share your sun, moon, rising, that'll be something that's nice for all of us to have. And then shared agreements, which is a really important section, so that we all come together in integrity with the same energetic agreements and consciousness around what the expectations are in the space, to keep it safe, to keep it a place of respect, to keep it a place where we all feel good about what we've agreed upon. A good thing to have. And then you see that there's an intro to the portal on embodied intuition, which is running the whole course. We're teaching skills in embodied intuition and learning the basics of like energy awareness. So there's an intro to that that's accessible now to those that have enrolled. And then starting after our first class on Wednesday, I'm going to be opening portal 1 with the new material to dive into these new realms, these new places you're going to go. Thank you so much to those listeners who've already said yes. It means so much to us that you trust us with this. And thank you to all of you who are considering it. It means you trust us too. And I hope you will reach out if you have questions or concerns about how to make this possible for you. All right. So this will probably then be the last episode for a while. Of course, I'll be doing the seasonals, but there's going to just be a month or so where I want to ground into this group and just really give it my attention and step away from moon to moon a little bit. So for this last episode for a little while, I give you a very, very special guest, whose name is Rachel Blodgett. Rachel Blodgett, well, let me read her bio first. Rachel Blodgett is an artist and poetic spellcrafter from Santa Rosa, California. Working with botanical dyes and visual magic, she created the magical lingerie shop known as Serpent and Bow, serving as a channel to transformative and liberatory understandings of embodiment. Rachel also offers divinatory card readings through her tarot practice, House of Poets. She is devoted to courting life as it moves through us, exploring the mystery of being here, surrendering to being human, and allowing artistic expression to deepen this exquisite spiritual experience in the material mundane. You really can feel there, and you really can feel in Rachel's words and even the somatic sensation of receiving her voice that we are talking about a Scorpio rising here with Taurus sun opposite Scorpio rising. The Taurus Scorpio axis is so strong in her, and it moves through her and it moves her creations, and her words are so rich. They're weighted, you know, they have almost a matter about them, a material quality. And then what she's actually saying is so, so, so deep and profound and true and wise. I found myself just feeling like entranced listening to her voice and her words. And so I'm very excited to give this to you as like a sensual experience, you know? Like, I think you're really going to find that you just kind of like drop in. So beautiful. Thank you, Rachel. So other things that we discuss in her charts so that you can visualize this before we begin. So seeing Scorpio rising, Scorpio at the first house then, and Rachel's Pluto in Scorpio generation. So it's Pluto rising too. We talk about her Sagittarius moon in the second house then, because Sag is the sign after Scorpio. We talk some about how she was born in a window where Uranus, Saturn, and Neptune were all together in early Capricorn. It's this little window of time when they were all together. And so with Saturn and Capricorn then, Rachel just moved through her Saturn return from December 7, 2017 to December 2020, like everyone else who is Saturn in Capricorn. We talk about that some. And we spent some time thinking about how, I'm trying to remember, like, did we talk about this after we stopped recording? But I think we talked about it, how she has her nodal axis with Persephone and Ceres. Ceres is Persephone's mother in the myth, Demeter, in Pisces in her fifth house of creativity. And she's an artist. You know, she makes things for people to put on their bodies, to be connected to their bodies and recognize how magical their bodies are. So as I said, she's in the seventh house. Then she has her beautiful Taurus sun, which is actually conjunct Jupiter, as we discuss. Big, big, bright Taurus sun. And then we also talk about how in the eighth house, she has Chiron exactly conjunct Venus, and that's exactly opposite her moon in Sagittarius, and how things may have come up with that opposition in her life. So we go really deep and we stay very close to the chart. We cover the timeline of how she came to become the nourisher of what is Serpent and Bow. This is how I know her, is because I love her Instagram feed for Serpent and Bow. I love and buy the beautiful creations from Serpent and Bow and really love putting them on my body. And I've been enjoying watching Rachel's transformation, it feels, across 2021, like so many of us. It's such a year of change. And talking with her about what's happening for her now and what's emerging in her now, and how her practices are shifting with everything that's going on right now with Uranus and Taurus, like right over her sun. So then, thank you, thank you, thank you again, Rachel Blodgett, for joining me. Thank you for all that you do and create and teach us. Thank you to everyone listening, and I know that you will enjoy this one. Welcome to Moon, Rachel.
Thank you, Britt. And I'm so honored to be on Moon to Moon with you.
I've been doing a few of these episodes now in the series, Living the Fuck Out of Your Chart. And I'm very excited to have a conversation with you about living the fuck out of your chart. I've got your chart pulled up here, and the way I like to begin, it just makes the most sense to me, is to tell you a little bit about how I found your work and then get into some personal storytelling. And then just kind of organically, as I
notice things that you say that resonate with your chart, we can just drop into the chart too. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Okay. So, yes, I found your work. I don't know how. I think probably somebody that I admire posted, or it may have been Karina Rosella of Rise Up Good Witch. I've been working with Karina for tarot readings over 2 years now. We meet at the equinoxes and solstices, and that's been a really beautiful relationship. So I always really value anyone that I connect with through Karina. And so I'm guessing that's probably how I found your work. And so then I was following you and began dreaming about buying one of your pieces, and finally did get a mugwort and moon leotard, which has been very special to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just always, you know, salivating and like wanting one, then I'd like miss it because they're sold out, and they're like debating like what's the next one. It feels like almost like trying to think about when you want another tarot deck or something, you know. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like gonna be a relationship, like is this the relationship I'm ready for, like am I ready for it yet? So I just love the work that you put out there, but especially what I appreciate is the personal voice behind your posts and your newsletters. Like there's a clear human being that's speaking, that's sharing creation, that really cares about having your integrity with what you're doing. And like that even through like high demand. And I do remember being very moved by an interview I heard with you on Rise Up Good Witch, listening to the ethics of your business. Hearing you speak about that. So I would love to hear about how you created Serpent and Bow. Like what are the kind of stories behind that coming into being? And of course, I'd love it if you could share how you chose the name. Do you want to start with that?
Sure. Well, thank you for just sharing that you really feel my voice come through the work, because that definitely feels really important to me, that there's like real spirit being held in the garment and being held in the way I communicate. I feel like it's pretty rare in the world to for people to have the experience of like real personal connection, especially like in receiving the clothing that you wear. Like I think it used to be a long time ago that either everyone made what they have, or you knew the person who made what you have. And like when I was a kid, like my grandma made some of my clothes, and that was so special to me, like feeling her hand in it. And so I really want that, that care to come through. And I really like hold that, like even just in like reading the names on the orders and like writing each person's name on the card that goes with their order. Like I'm really thankful to like just be able to be connected to that type of care work. But yeah, going back to the name Serpent and Bow, there's this long history in my family of connection to snakes. especially with my brother. His name's Roy, and he actually, like, he's in really deep relationship with a few specific types of snakes, which I think that's kind of his story. And so I think it's worth it to, like, maybe track that down and hear that piece of, like, his connection to snakes, because that's really magical in itself. But for me, like, the symbolism of like growing and shedding and like this being that's kind of like revered, but also a lot of people are afraid of snakes, and they kind of hold this like very specific mystical quality that like demands your presence and attention. Mm. Like looking a snake in the eye is like a really intense experience. And like, I don't know, I've also had experiences of like getting to hold them and watch them. And so there's like this level of like myth, and then there's a level of like this actual being that exists in the world and also feels like a magical being to me, and my like personal relationship to them. And then there's also just like the, I love the artistic lineage of artists and mystics working with snakes. And like, just on a visual level, the dynamic movement that they have, like a snake is literally a line. Yeah. And so for me, like line drawing, and like a living line is what a snake is. So that's amazing to me. And then the bow is, I love the dual meaning of like the ribbon bow, and then also like the bow and arrow.
Mm.
And like the connection to like really extreme overt femininity, like silky, fluid, floppiness. I love that. And then also like the precision of the bow, which kind of relates to Sagittarius.
Yes.
Which is like a part of my chart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your Sagittarius moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that when you chose the title? And did you know you were Scorpio rising when you chose the title?
Yeah. I did, but I feel like the way my understanding of most things works, including my chart, is like this kind of long courtship. So the way I understood Sagittarius 7 years ago is like different than the way I hold it now.
Yes.
But that's really fun to me.
Yeah, but it just works out.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, so thank you. Why did you, first of all, I'm like kind of, I almost like left my body listening to you talk about the living line, and just like, I kind of like went into a trance state, like going living lines, you know, so beautiful. I hadn't ever thought about snakes form that way. And I appreciate what you just gave me. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for creating this space. I didn't know I was going to say that.
You're like,
so I'm excited about it too.
Yeah, they totally are. So were you in a period of shedding skin when you said, I'm going to create this business practice? I don't know what you call your work, but so I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
mm-hmm.
Were you in a stage of shedding skin in that sense of connecting to serpents that way as well?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I kind of always am. I'm really interested in identity and like what, like the identifiers that we use for ourselves and how people like choose to define themselves and then the way those like identities shift over time and I feel like I'm like, I mean, I'm thinking of like the Octavia Butler "God is change" quote.
Mm-hmm.
I think I really live by that. And I just love the idea of like the possibility of like growing by constantly releasing.
Mm.
'Cause yeah, it's literally like they lose a part of themselves, but like become something else over and over and over. I really relate to that. But like at the time of creating Serpent and Bow, it was like, that was like 2012, I think, is maybe when I started using that name. I was really young. And I had like just finished art school like a year before. And I moved to the East Coast to, I lived in Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes.
And I moved there. No, but my best friend was going to RISD.
Okay.
And so I moved there to kind of be where she was and also because I felt like I had this like backlog of like things I wanted to create and I just wanted to make art. And I knew that if I stayed in California, it was too expensive. And I had also, I'm from California. So I moved somewhere where I could, you know, live with friends and make art and try to just live cheaply for a while so that I could just focus on my art. And that's kind of Serpent and Bow kind of, came out of that.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of like the practical side of it. And then like there's also like the emotional side of it and like the spiritual side of it. So there's like layers of stories here, but like, I feel like an important part is also like, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was basically like meeting my physical body, like maybe for the first time in my life, actually inhabiting my physical body and learning how to like really take care of myself and listen to my body, which is like definitely a challenging part of my life still.
Yeah, what's so beautiful then is that you make things to help people feel beautiful in their body.
Yeah. And just to like invite people to be in their body, you know, like I think our bodies like hold us through so many experiences. And like for me personally, it's not always available to me to feel beautiful. And I don't want to have to feel beautiful all the time.
Yes. Well said.
Yeah. But I don't want to like banish my body because I don't think it's beautiful either. Like I think I'm kind of in a process of like accepting the body I have when I have pain and, and like allowing myself to like meet the sensation of being in a body in all of its, that the whole spectrum of it.
Yeah. So you were saying 2014 for when you began to create Serpent and Bow.
Yeah, I think it was a couple years before that I started. But 2014 is like when I stopped having other jobs.
Oh, that is what's on the website. So for you, it really began. This is so interesting. Can I tell you? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
So what you were describing about identity and this visual of being constantly in release, you know, with
sleep, yeah,
and thinking about the connection with Scorpio to shedding skin and renewal. Mm-hmm. You know, the way I teach rising sign, or one of the things, the first thing I'm going to say is that, if we think about the first house as identity, right? Like, is that there's a real invitation with the chart to embody this, what the sign calls for, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the more you embody, like the rising sign, the point of the ascendant is where the sky meets the earth. It's like where spirit enters the body. You know, it's like, it's really about embodiment to me, the rising sign. But we often kind of spend a lot of our life coming to embody our rising sign, like allowing it to like drop into us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like you're really speaking to this, I'm sure, largely intuitive sense and emotional sense of that shedding identity or shedding what you think you are and letting it release out into something else. Is part of what you're doing here. And so like living the fuck out of your rising sign. But also I'm seeing that it's okay if you haven't heard this term, it's kind of technical, but we have this thing called progressions in astrology, which is different than transits, which are more like what the celestial bodies are doing in a given moment. The progressions are much more personal, and it's like how our personal natal chart placements are evolving over time. Mm-hmm. So the progressed moon is the one that goes the fastest because the moon is the celestial body that moves the fastest. So the progressed moon changes every 2.5 years, just like it corresponds then to days after your birth. It takes 2.5 days for the moon to change sign. So
okay,
in this particular, it's 28 ish years for the progressed moon to move all the way around the chart.
Wow.
So, it looks like mid, you know, 2012, then your progressed moon was coming right into up to your Pluto and moving through your first house. And so to me, what this feels like is a kind of like emotional dropping into how to embody yourself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then over the course of the next two some years, then the progressed moon moved into your second house of assets, what you have, your material life, which is where you have your moon. Mm-hmm. And that's when you started to realize you were creating enough, I guess, what would you call it? Wealth? What would you call it? Enough access, enough support for you to really give yourself to what was calling you. And you spoke something earlier about something about having, creating something for people to have that was made
with
hands, you know? And that's, to me, it feels like if you're the moon is what you need for emotional safety and security, it's like create this kind of inner need to know what's yours is often what moon in the second house can feel like including your own body, right? Because what we have starts with the body temple and moves out to the rest of our things that help us know that we're safe and we can survive. But I love that it's Sagittarian because it's like Sagittarius has to be free to like shoot its own arrow, like go where it wants to go, to visualize possibilities. So to me, moon in the second in Sag feels like an emotional need, then like a safety and feeling like you can follow your calling in how you and how you support yourself, you know, like you have to be free to support yourself your own way. Does that feel true for you?
Yeah. It feels like it feels really out of integrity and hard to like it feels like I must follow what the muse or the dream or the vision that is with me, like I must do it. And if I'm not doing it, I get like, well, I get like physically sick, but also it's like my life just doesn't work.
Yes.
And like, so like when I was younger, there was like a long history of me like getting jobs, and I'm also like really, you know, there's a side of me that like wants to, whatever I'm doing, I want to be doing it excellently and like really bringing my whole effort to what I do. And I would just like get sick. I remember even like when I was a student, one time I was like riding my bike to school and like had to like get off my bike and lay on the ground because I was like about to pass out. And this is just like, it's like from not being allowed to listen to my body because I'm on like somebody else's time.
Yes.
And so I don't know, this is something I'm like really working with now, is like recognizing that like the business that I created has created a lot of freedom for me to like be allowed to have the body I have. And I want that. Like, I want that for everyone. And also, everyone doesn't have the same like body needs. You know, like some people are invigorated by going to work at the same time every day.
Yes.
I have friends that are like that. And so yeah, I don't know. I'm really interested in that, like our like body timing or something. Like getting to understand that about ourselves.
Yes. So you were, did you just start to know that, I guess the business just did well, it was thriving, and you started to know that you could release from other kinds of forms of
work? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this happens. I think this happens to a lot of people who are trying to create their own business, that like you get to a certain point where you're like, oh, if I just like had a little bit more time to do my own thing, I would totally be able to make enough money. But like, I don't have that time because I'm working for someone else so that yes. I can get the money to like do my other thing. So it's kind of like, it's hard. It can be hard to make that transition, but, so yeah, at first it was, I was definitely scraping by, but, it was partly because I wasn't charging enough for the labor that I was putting in. Like when I was doing the, I was doing all hand painted indigo batik when I first started. And, at a certain point I switched to this model where I was offering like a dozen custom sets per month. So it was like a matching bra and brief, and each one was like hand painted to the wearer's intention. And I think about that now, and like when I make the custom sets now, if I make custom for someone, it takes me a long time. Like I definitely can't do 12 of them at once. And so I've had to learn like what is actually like within my calling, like what can I support energetically with my art, and what feels like exploiting my own gift just because I don't understand it. So I've kind of like learned that through experience. But and then the other piece that came in is like recognizing that like I can make a like an energetic I can like use art to create an energetic imprint on a series of garments that is like a message that comes through me. It doesn't always have to be a response to a specific person for it to be a like deeply meaningful piece of art.
Yes.
And so now that's why I'm making like these wider series, like the Hierophant piece for this year, because many, many people are working with Hierophant energy this year. And so I like took time to like really channel that card and its message. And now I'm like making it in different colors throughout the whole year.
Yeah. So gorgeous.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that for everyone.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things that I'm looking at in your chart. And one of them is that in that early period, when you were forming Serpent and Bow, Pluto was moving through a signature that you have with your generation, like as in the people like you graduated from high school with, which is to have Uranus with Saturn with Neptune all together in early Capricorn. So I don't know if you've heard me talk about this with other people who have a little bit similar, but Caroline Casey wrote Visionary Activist Astrology in I guess the early 90s, referring to that period of time when Neptune and Uranus were together. And so Neptune's the visionary and Uranus is the activist. And then, so together, it was like this idea of calling in a new paradigm, like visioning the new paradigm, dreaming would be a Neptune word, dreaming the new paradigm. So people all born late 80s and early 90s have this signature in Capricorn. And then in a smaller window, Saturn was moving through there. And as you may know, Saturn was moving through Capricorn last year. So you were going through the last couple of years. Let's see, you would have had your Saturn return more specifically 2019, but we can call like the whole bracket around when Saturn was in early Capricorn, your Saturn return. So what to me this speaks to is like Saturn, like really bringing the discipline, like the, like what is the structure to vision and to dream like a new paradigm through what I'm doing here. And the third house has to do with your self-expression, how you think, how you're talking, how you're learning, and all of them are retrograde. So it's like, maybe it took a while to kind of figure out what to do with this really unique signature that you have. But you said that you want everything to be excellent. Yes.
Yeah.
Like Saturn and Capricorn would like it to be excellent.
Yeah.
But like your generation, I think Saturn return really activates this like, oh, wait, I'm the adult. Like how do I want to do this? How do I want to bring my excellence? Like, how does my excellence want to move through me? And
maybe not through like striving and punishing ourselves.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
So I imagine that in that window of like 2018, it would have been creeping up, you know, and then, well, also Saturn would have been going over your moon in 2018, which brings its own strains emotionally, I think. So 2018 may have had its kind of like own qualities. And then 2019 really bringing you into the thick of the Saturn return. Does that resonate? Did you know that you were going through it?
Yeah.
Was there a shift in your business around then?
2017?
2019.
Yeah. Well, my business grew a lot those 2 years. Mainly what happened is I was working with an assistant from, well, I think that started 2017 is when they were like officially an employee.
Yes.
And yeah, so I had someone helping me sew, and then I also like got some like business coaching, and I think that was like the first time that I started really taking it seriously as a business, which was, it's kind of funny because now I feel like I'm like on the other side of it and I'm thinking of it like as a phase that I went through.
Yes.
Where I was like, oh, like business time. I like learned what, I learned the phrase pain points. It's like this business term of like identifying things that kind of drain your energy in your business. And yeah. And so I was like really trying to like eliminate pain points and
love it.
And like upgrade my printer and like, get better at shipping and all that kind of stuff. And now I feel like that a lot of that is like kind of on board, and some of it I'm letting go of, and I'm like, actually, I don't care if my machine is that well oiled.
Oh my god, yes,
let's just slow down a little bit.
That's so great. Saturn, sit down.
Yeah. We're like a horse and buggy kind of operation.
Oh my God, I love that. Now that I'm looking, I'm like, oh yeah, it was December 2017 that Saturn went into Capricorn. So yeah, it would have been 2017 that you had Saturn on your moon, and then 2018 that you were in the thick of the Saturn return.
Yeah,
still reverberating while Saturn was in Capricorn, but yeah, I guess Saturn was like, okay, we're gonna get this together.
I'm pretty sure 2017 also is like, that was when like my like mystical powers were really ramping up in a big way.
Oh, I love that. Well, I was thinking about how Neptune moved into Pisces, which is your fifth house of creativity, 2011, and still there. But in that period too of when you were forming Serpent and Bow, and throughout the same period we're looking at here, like 2018, that whole period also Chiron was moving through Pisces, Chiron, the wounded healer. I don't know how familiar you are with Chiron. Do you?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, what's really cool in your chart is that Persephone, the asteroid Persephone, is with the asteroid Ceres, which is Demeter, her mother.
Wow.
I don't know. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I love the Persephone myth.
Yes. So I always like to check where people have Persephone, because I tend to attract people that I think have Persephone resonances, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then I like to see, like, is Persephone in relationship in some way to Pluto or to Ceres? And you have them only 3 degrees apart, and your north node is right there with them. In Pisces, which is like, you know, really connecting in to your creativity and like almost like a altered states kind of way. And then Neptune coming in that time, kind of pumping up the Neptunian Piscean aspect of being deeply into your creativity in a, you could say, mystical way. And then Chiron having been in there too. Chiron to me is like, maybe what that was doing was inviting you to love all the parts of yourself that have been touched by Persephone stories, you know, like awaken what you learned to expand what you can create, as opposed to like have it feel just like you're living in the trauma part of it, you know?
Yeah. There's also this whole other layer where, like, when I very first started Serpent and Bow, I invited my ex partner, who was like my first love, like from high school. I invited him to join me in the business. That was 2012, I think. Literally, when he arrived to move in with me, I got sick the next day and continued to be sick until we broke up like 2 years later. And then we didn't speak for years. And then in 2017, it was like right around Christmas. We like started speaking a tiny bit, and I feel like only very recently has that relationship healed. But that was like such a long haul, that there's just this thread of like me not fully accepting what belongs to me and like thinking I need to give half of it away to someone else over and over. And then I have to fight to get it back.
Mm. All right. Are you ready to talk about your Taurus sun then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. So you may know that you have sun in the seventh house of one-on-one contracts. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay. So the first house, because Scorpio and Taurus are opposing signs, they're polar signs. So everyone who's Scorpio rising will have Taurus in the seventh house. And the houses balance each other out just like the signs do. So if the first house is your identity, your appearance, like your embodiment, what's kind of like a motivating energy of how you step into situations, how you encounter anything, it's like coming from Scorpio energy, also Pluto energy, because you're Pluto and Scorpio generation. So thus the seventh house is you relative to the person that you're in contract with. So it's like the seesaw, you know, like in life, unless you go full hermit, like you're always engaging with other human beings and then learning about yourself relative to what happens being in the contract with that person, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just romantic. It's all one-on-one contracts. And the way I like to talk about seventh house too is like, it's not just, it is legal contracts, but it's also like energetic contracts. It's like, I'm like,
yeah,
and you're like this, and this is how we do us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And with seventh house things, I feel like the key is always aiming for present time, because we get stuck in past patterns with people, you know, and past like corners with them, like where we feel like we have to be who we were, or we make them be who they were. And as long as we're in present time, we can feel liberated, you know? So when someone has a sun in the seventh house, it's like your sun is your own solar authority. It's your light. It's this really, really luminous, special quality about you. And when it's in the seventh house, it's like it relates to the world vis-a-vis the other, you know? I'm trying to remember like the exact words you just said, like feeling like when you make something that you have to give it away to somebody else or something like this.
Yeah. Like feeling like when something belongs to me, I have to give half of it away and then fight to get it back.
Yeah. So I feel like part of your Taurus sun, which wants to have, Taurus likes to have,
yeah,
right? Is Taurus.
And just like knows how to.
Taurus is the sensual experience of being alive, right?
You know? Yeah.
There's probably in you, and because you have Jupiter right there too, really expanding all the Taurus energy there and like expanding your solar nature. You're probably very good at knowing what the other person would benefit from having, you know, or like sensing how to help them have more sensual delight or have more of their own light, and like giving some of your light to them. And this kind of like constant rebalancing of calling yourself back, like, oh, that felt good to give, but maybe not so much.
Yeah. And like learning like the edge of like, what's good to give versus what is too much.
Yeah. You know, I'm really feeling like there's some eighth house things too, because the second house is like what you have and the eighth house is like what you're sharing, shared investments, debts included in that. Like, you're, when you're indebted with someone, you know, kind of like we often associate the eighth house too with like, the bedroom, like sex, because you can give your, you really give a part of yourself, in those vulnerable places, and it's vulnerable to share money with people. You know, it's kind of like what's hidden that we share is the eighth house. And your moon, which we already talked about, which speaks to what you have in the material world, is directly opposite your Chiron Venus conjunction. So you have Venus and exactly opposite your moon, and Chiron is present. So to me, this is, I'm wondering, it's like Chiron, like a Chiron journey around healing how to feel safe and giving and receiving with what's shared. Does that make sense? And your moon may be like, whoa, 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 easy. I got to know what I have, you know, because the moon like has its needs. Like we take care of our moon like a child inside of us. So it's like, oh, I want to know what I have. And Venus is like, well, what you want to have is like, we're going to merge what we have, you know, and there may be with Chiron there, that might be a point where there's like, speaking of pain points, you know, like a pain point there for your Chiron work in this life. So it may be more second house, eighth house, what you're describing just then.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I can see that.
Yeah. But I do want to go back to your sun. Let me go to present time. Well, that is February still. Okay. So what I would want you to know if we were working with each other or talking about is that Uranus, the great awakener, who we mentioned briefly, because you have Uranus in the third house with Neptune and Saturn. Uranus is exactly on your sun right now. It's been on your
sun
all of July now. It's gestation retrograde last week. So it's been super slow. And then all through September, and then it will go back over your sun. I didn't look up the date, but it'll probably go back over your sun. Might be able to tell you. It'll be next year. It'll be like, if I had to guess, like March, April. So Uranus to your sun is like bringing a lot of change probably in your life. And probably with your one-on-one contracts, like with any partners that you have, any people that you're in contract with, just like changing up the direction of how you're doing partnerships, and your sun like really feeling called into listening. But sometimes, so have you been feeling like you're in a lot of change this year?
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually in a month, I'll be moving into a different studio, which is kind of unexpected. And I will not be working with my assistant anymore, which is a huge change because they were working with me for the past 5 years.
Wow. Yeah, so, I saw that actually.
Yeah.
Now that you're saying that.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there are other changes too that I'm kind of just like, they're on my radar, but I don't know like how they're going to materialize. Yeah. But I definitely feel like, oh, it's one of those phases where like I'm letting go of what I have right now because the next is appearing.
Yeah. And you know how to do that, it seems.
Yeah. Well, I just, it's not comfortable, you know, but, but I do accept it and I do trust it. Like I feel like I have a sense, especially with the new space, just the way that each step was presented to me in my life, I feel like there's like really clear guidance that's what's next. Wow. And it's like one of those moments where like I know that if I cling to what is right now, it's only gonna get harder, you know, where it may be hard to like build something new and different, but that won't be as hard as clinging to what was.
Yeah.
In the long run.
You are totally embodying the Scorpio Taurus axis. I think of it as very much about life force energy and the energy, that pumping energy of creating and growing and then letting it go and again,
like yeah.
cycles. Are you feeling inspired in any way by the Hierophant, given that Hierophant's associated with Taurus and you are a Taurus sun?
Yeah. There's been so much coming through with the Hierophant, that I feel like I haven't like parsed that out with myself yet, but it's kind of like one of those things where I just have that archetype in my back pocket all the time. And it keeps like coming to me in new ways. And lately, what I'm feeling the most is the like teacher aspect and the aspect of like the Hierophant like receives sacred information and puts it into the material realm. And like their job is not really to judge the information or like try to manipulate it. That would be like bad Hierophant territory.
Yes.
If they're trying to like bend it in their human way, they're really the job of a good translator is to like share the most true version. And even if that's not like the version that feels like palatable or fun or comfortable. And so yeah, I kind of feel like with this move, I got the instructions. Yeah. And now I need to just do them. Even though there's also parts of me that's like digging in my heels and I'm like, really? Like now, is this really the schedule it has to be on? But it's very clearly like, yes, like you wanted this. Now it's here.
Wow.
So now like follow the steps.
Wow. When Neptune's right at your north node in that fifth house of creativity, Pisces just like giving you all the information about where you're going next. Cause north node is like, mm-hmm. where you're going, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do feel like the information has been really clear.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. I'm excited too. I even though I get freaked out, but we just got the key to the new space. And every time I go there, I feel peace. And I feel like, yes, this is it.
this is what's next. Even though there's another part of me that's like, really, like, we're doing it again, because I think maybe it's the Taurus part. I don't know, but I like put so much care into making this, the studio that I currently have, like making it beautiful and, you know, making it work for us. And I feel like it's like really infused with this like magical energy now.
Yes. Which someone else will be able to appreciate, hopefully, unless totally. You're gonna take it. But
I even had a dream where, like, in the dream, like the person who's gonna move into this space was like with me in the dream, and I was like showing her everything that's here and like giving it to her. And I was like so happy to give it to her. And then I woke up and I was like, yeah, that feels really good.
You still have it? Or
I do want to do that.
Yeah. What? Is it out of your hands now, or do you still have the old space?
I'm here for 1 month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I just said goodbye to my house a couple months ago, or I guess it was early July, not even that long ago. And I'm in limbo, living at my mom's before our house is ready to move in. But I'll share that I like did a ritual, and I asked any house spirits that wanted to come to like hop on my shoulder, join me, you know, and those who want to stay and like, you know, be with the house because they love the house, like stay and thank you. And it just felt so right. So I wish you well with that last month and the things you can do with that. And I want to add that when you said key, I was like, Hierophant.
Yep. The cross keys, like the intersection of keys.
Yes. Yes.
Very interesting, right?
Yeah. So are there any upcoming projects you want to share or anything going on for listeners to connect with your work?
Well, I will be sharing, I'll continue to share the Hierophant pieces for the next few months. And the best way to find out about those releases is by signing up for my newsletter. And then also I'm just really taking inventory of what's in the space, and there are so many like magical little things that I started that I'm now like pulling out and completing them. So it's really fun, actually. It feels really good to be like even just working with the plants, because I created a little garden here too. And so there are like plants that I harvested that I'm using to stuff these bed charms that I'm making. So they're like these like heavy, they're actually also stuffed with the with our scrap fabrics. So they're like stuffed with fabrics and herbs, and there are these heavy little like stuffed talismans for your bed with like dream herbs in them. And I'm making like a bunch of different kinds of those, and it feels really good to be like, you know, just working with the herbs from this place and completing everything right down to like the scraps of fabric and like really letting go of it.
Yeah. So it's like, that's so Taurus to see it to the end like that, you know, just like do it properly.
Yeah. Like tending to every last scrap, finding
how
its home.
Special. Get one of these. Thank you so much for coming on to Moon and for talking with me.
Thank you, Britton. It felt like a treat to get to learn more about my chart and hear your mystical insight into it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wasn't that nice? What did you most appreciate about Rachel's story? What about what we discussed most resonated with you in your body? How do you feel? Thank you so much for listening to the episode, for supporting Moon to Moon. Please rate and review if you haven't yet. I'll share ways to connect with Rachel and Serpent and Bow in the show notes. And I'll also share how to enroll in charting your course, which starts next week. I hope to see you. Please come if it's calling to you. We're welcoming you in. Until next time, I'm wishing you well.